It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Kitchar.
Are going to stay on two stars on the jersey. It's not going to go to three in the usual post-mortem. No doubt will begin for the next coming weeks when the club championship's on, but it's very disappointing. But to be honest, Manus, I left gutted after the 14 final because neither team showed up, but Kerry got over the line. They got a couple of lucky goals. I'll be completely honest, I think Kerry have dominated this game start to finish, apart from two brief little purple patches from Donegal. Maybe we'll get to that in a minute. Sean Patton, we'll have enough time actually for that after. Sean Patton laying it off here to Darrell Boyle, just working so hard. Has help out there from Patter Mogan. Coming up the Cusick Stand side, thanks to our sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heat, Nolahi Road, Donegal Town. A couple of Donegal supporters making their way on the steps from Hill 16. Here's Jimmy Brennan, the Kieran Moore, but a point really isn't going to make any difference at this stage.
And yeah, again, that kind of sums up Donegal today, and Paddy probably going to give away a foul there, and that's probably the last thing you want to do. To be fair, Kevin White has been superb for Kerry, and just grasped by Sean O'Shea, just showing the leadership qualities of Kerry, and they're going to make a couple of changes. And one of the great heroes of Kerry football over the last club football over the last couple of years has been Michael Burns, and you can hear the ovation from the Kerry supporters here for Burns. He's making away Graham O'Sullivan, who was excellent throughout, and I have to say Kerry has got it right.
Yeah, they've been in control. You'd have to say the words control, they've been better, their skin level's been better, they've made less mistakes, they kick two pointers. It's the new rules, two pointers will win you games. Donegal haven't taken two pointers, they haven't got one, so look. And Kerry have been disciplined outside the arc. Michael Murphy just trying to apply pressure onto Paddy Clifford here, and it's a free to Kerry, and it's just a matter of just waiting now. And Gavin White will be,
yeah, I think we're just going to hear another Kerry speech.
Yeah, it's going to be the 39th one. Not sure how the speeches were years ago. Tadhg Morley spring it across, 1 minute remaining. Kerry 26, Donegal 19. 7 point lead for Kerry, and Tadhg Morley as an acre of space in front of him. It's like the Golden Vale in North Cork, South Tipperary. Kerry can just put icing on the cake with a goal, and they do. And it's number 10, Joe O'Connor. Kerry have schooled Donegal today. Let's call a spade a spade. They've been light years ahead in every single department, and even Jack O'Connor for the first time can afford a smile. Kerry are the All-Ireland champions. It's been a hammering, let's be honest. Donegal have got it back a couple of times, Manus. But that's been as close. Yeah. 4 points a few times. The better team by a distance.
Yeah. And Paddy, I mean, to be fair, the first half performance is what laid the foundation for it. And no better performance in the first half than what David Clifford scored. Three twos and two single points in the first half. And Kerry making sure that the ball goes out of play. And 39th All-Ireland for Kerry.
Kerry are the All-Ireland champions in 2025. Absolute devastation for Donegal. Donegal's 11th game. Kerry 126, Donegal 19 points. A 10-point victory for Kerry. It's their 39th. It's the 130th final. Donegal stay on two. And that Joe O'Connor goal, just put the icing on the cake. And Jim McGuinness is obviously crestfallen, and all the Donegal players fall to their feet. There was a lot more Donegal supporters here today, but obviously we're devastated, Manus. But to be honest, I left 14 and it took me years to get over it as a supporter. I know the team in that did. Today was completely different.
Yeah,
I thought Kerry bossed this game pretty much from start to finish. like, there were 9 points up on two different occasions in the first half. We got it back to five on two occasions. There was the odd purple patch, but Kerry had less mistakes. They kicked, what, 5 2-pointers? We didn't kick any. They closed down that space. They were just a better team.
Yeah, from the first minute, they took the lead with the first attack of the game and they never relinquished it. They had a game plan. They knew what Donegal were about. They'd done their hard work, but I do think, and I'd go back to it, and I've said it all along this week, that Kerry had two great games in playing Armagh and Tyrone. Donegal hadn't to reach that intensity that they had. That brought the best out of Kerry, and Kerry brought the best of Kerry here today, and Donegal had no match for it, Paddy. Today, listen, Michael Murphy has given an unbelievable year. The fairy tale ending wasn't to be. A brilliant Kerry team, marshalled well by Jack O'Connor, but with the two Cliffords, Sean O'Shea, Gavin White, and Jason Foley, they were just better, and were better throughout the 70 minutes. And you just have to put up your hand to that. But for the likes of Murphy and McBurdy, Ryan McHugh, who's been an unbelievable servant to Donegal, that's harsh. And Big Hugh McFadden was here in 2014, and I suppose when I heard he wasn't playing today, that probably struck me because I know how disappointed he was back then. So I'm glad he got on, but I mean,
he did well again, when he came on.
He did, and he's been excellent and consistent throughout the year. And I'm sure I'll meet up with him during the week, and he'll be his usual chirpy self. But I know it'll hurt.
Just a word on David Clifford. Look, he's a wonderful player. I love watching him, and he scored three brilliant 2-pointers today, and he got a great single pointer there in the closing quarter when he got a bit of space and got away from McCall. But actually, overall, he was quiet enough today. Brendan McCall, this won't be noticed, but he actually did a decent enough job on him for a lot of that game. It's just that when he did get service, he was terrific.
Yeah, I love watching David Clifford, but not against Donegal. Not really, wouldn't play. But yeah, I mean, Brent McCall. But to be fair to Donegal, they worked on that. But as I said in the first half, the first five scores came down the left-hand side. So Donegal, emphasis was placed on making sure David Clifford didn't start the game well. But in the first half, he scored 3 2-pointers and 2 single-pointers. And no matter how hard Brent McCall tried, he just can't. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, we talk about Michael Murphy being, and Paddy McBurdy, Carl Lacey, being probably the three best players and most accomplished players ever to play for Donegal. But Clifford's above that. And that's just saying something. Because I would believe myself that I've seen no better. I thought I'd seen no better than when Michael Murphy came along. I've seen the likes of Morris Fitz. I've seen the likes of wee James McCartan. Unbelievable footballers down through the years. But I've never seen anything like David Clifford. And the fact that his brother Paddy there is there pulling the strings, and they're all looking for him, and they know when to play him, and they know when to not to give him the ball. But his 3 2-pointers in the first half, especially the one at half time, that says it all.
No, I accept that, and I'm not playing down his contribution at all. But I thought McCall did.
Oh yeah,
in general terms, although the records will show he scored.
I'd actually say it would be very hard, Austin, to pick out a Donegal player that probably didn't not play well. You know, I thought they'd done all right. There was a couple of mistakes, but I would say
Michael Langan had a quiet day. I don't remember the two of you talking about him much for two-thirds of the commentary. But not that he didn't play, he played badly, but just maybe Kerry nullified his threat for a large portion of the game.
And I mean, if there was be one question I would have on the Donegal team was their lack of sharpness. Kerry was just sharper. They got to the bounce of the ball quicker. Their handling mistakes was less than Donegal. Their turnovers were less than Donegal. And when they got into the shooting position, they were much better.
And if it wasn't nerves, and if it wasn't quiet injuries that cropped up in the run-up to this final, might the toll of this 11 championship match season maybe taken its toll more than we thought, and it just manifested itself at the wrong time in the final?
Yeah, it could be a whole pile of things, and it could be all those things that you've said. However, the job is to get everybody right. That's the job. Brian McInniff done it along with Mickey Lafferty. and everybody involved.
They got Brian Murray taped up. They got everything
ready. They made sure that everybody was where they needed to be. They got the injuries sorted. Now, in saying that, we had 4 or 5 years or 4 or 5 weeks lead up to that final, which gives you an opportunity to get rested and get back at it again. In 2012, Jim got everybody ready here. They worked on the Murphy goal, Carl Lacey, Colin McFadden, space for Colin McFadden. So they got it right. 14, they were a wee bit off. As Paddy said earlier in commentary, it was a harder one to take because both teams didn't play well. They just made sure that they capitalised on the mistakes that Donegal made. But today, Kerry was just better. But Donegal weren't as sharp as we've seen them in the last while.
It's probably too early to ask you this, Manus. Sunday evening at 11 minutes to 6 minutes after Donegal have lost in an All-Ireland final. But Michael Murphy came back to answer the county's call, and he's been terrific all season long. Jim McGuinness returned. They got players back in form after the disarray on and off the field 2 seasons ago. Donegal have transformed themselves as a GAA county. You know, there's a great vibe around the county. There's going to be obvious desolation right now. At 35 going on 36 and a few of the others, do you think the Murphys, the McGrathys, in any way would have the appetite to give this one more dance, one more year? Or are they at a point now when the dust settles where they'll say, look, we've come back and we've got a new younger generation of strong county squad going here, we'll send them down the runway and on their way? What do you think might happen in 2026?
Well, it's not that I would second guess what Michael Murphy or Paddy McBrady will do. I think they're the two that everybody will focus on. I'm sure they'll take a couple of weeks holidays. They'll get back and ready, and they'll no doubt play for their clubs in the club championship. But I think that conversation will be had, it'll not be far away, Austin. Yeah. That conversation will have to be had in October, November.
Yeah, soon enough.
Yeah, so because Jim likes to take the players back at the end of October and start a training regime in November through to December and into January. So whether he can say to Michael and say to Paddy and maybe a few others, listen, I'm not going to come back to you till next Christmas or next January, and we'll see where you're at then. I don't think that's the conversation that either Paddy or Michael will want. They'll make that decision. They'll make it fairly sharp, and they'll have no regrets about making it. It takes a lot out of the body to come back. It takes a lot out of the body to stay at it when you're in your 30s. You have other commitments. You know, the boys have work to go to. They've other commitments other than playing football for Donegal, and they've put their lives on hold since they were 16, 17 years of age, I think, if we're talking about the two lads. So maybe it's time, you know, for them to be given a bit of space, and I've no doubt they'll make the decision, but they'll make the decision for both themselves and for the good of the setup.
Paddy McGill went for a quick break there and to maybe say a decade of the rosary, I'm not sure, but he's been back. What have you been hearing? What's the verdict around the media zone here, Paddy?
I think the narrative, the question in Donegal will be asked in the next few days, were Donegal just couldn't get to the pitch of the tone, or were Kerry very good? The usual answer, I suppose, to that is always a little bit of both. Just, yeah, it doesn't, it's very disappointing. Again, I just think everybody just going to need a bit of space over the next couple of weeks and couple of months. For what it's worth, and I'm going to take a guess, I don't think anybody's going to retire from the Donegal team. I could be absolutely wrong. I've been wrong before. I don't think anybody's going to walk away. They've come so far this year, and it feels a long way back. You'll have Armagh back, Galway, Mayo, and Dublin and Tyrone and everybody else. But I think if you're going to be classed a great team, a phenomenal team, you're going to have to come back and compete in more All-Irelands. We said on the podcast during the week, Kerry have lost 24 finals. They've won 39 now. If you have to dine at the top table, you're going to lose them and you're going to win them. You played for Killybegs. You won county finals. You lost county finals. Kieran Thompson has played in a million county finals with Glendies. He hasn't won them all. So if Donegal are this really good team, which I think they are, I think they'll be back. I think Paddy McBurdy is an absolute legend. I mean, I was looking at my notes, like 167th appearance today. The man has just been phenomenal, and Michael Murphy, and they are giants of Donegal football. They owe Donegal football nothing. I personally, and I'm open to correction, and I could have egg in my face, I think they'll both stay. I think they both should stay. Kerry just set the bar, though, and they're just miles a better team. I was talking to Michael Foley there at the Times, and I did ask him, were Donegal bad or Kerry good, just for a different perspective. And he said, to be honest, I just thought Kerry were very good. James O'Donoghue, a couple of feet away from us here as well, what a player he was in 2014, and we'll congratulate him like they would have congratulated us. It's very disappointing because it's a fine loss, and but as losing, it's Kerry, man. Since 1903 they've been taking out teams. We're very disappointed here, but
I do get the sense in the two of you, though I'm not saying it's easy, there's no such thing, but it's marginally more palatable because it was a decisive defeat. If this had been a 1 or 2 point loss over, you know, someone not just a looping ball that dropped short in the last minute, I think the two of you wouldn't be as talkative as you are now.
No, I think you come to accept, Dawson, when a good team beats it,
you acknowledge it.
You just accept it. I mean, the Donegal lads, yes, they'll be disappointed. They look back. They'll go through every moment in that game that they're involved in. They'll go through moments that they weren't involved in, and they'll understand that Kerry got the start that they needed. They didn't keep Clifford quiet when they needed to keep Clifford, because once Kerry built momentum, they were always going to be hard to pull back. So they'll go through all those stages, and they'll think about every moment throughout that game. But like probably Paddy, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, he'll come to the thought process that I have now, that you're just beat by a better side, that we're just better on the day than you, and you can't do anything about that. We played in Donegal. I played for Donegal, and I played for Killybegs for a long time, and there was days that you were excellent and you got bit, and you just said, so there's nothing you can do about it. Like, if you're bit, then you give everything. Now, I did say earlier that Donegal didn't look as sharp as maybe Kerry done that to them. Maybe that's the pressure that Kerry put on you. Maybe that's the same pressure that they had distributed to both Tyrone and Armagh, and that's what got them over the line. They made less mistakes than Donegal, and they took their chances when they came.
We didn't perform. Kerry did perform. That's the bottom line. They started very early in the game, and they got a foothold in the game. I thought we responded quite well in the first half on our attack. We were good. We were clinical, but I think they might have scored in their first six attacks. You know, so we were struggling to deal with them in that period. They went for a lot of twos, and they hit a lot of them as well, and that was big. You know, David Clifford coming onto those balls on a loop. We'd done a lot of work on him, and we did a lot of work in terms of managing him. I thought Brendan did actually quite well on him for periods, but obviously it does take more than one person to try and close down David, and he kicked some brilliant twos, you know. So from our own point of view, Tommy, we made too many mistakes, you know. We did things that we don't normally do, you know. We made decisions that we don't normally do, and we had just too many turnovers. That's the bottom line. We had too many turnovers, and some of them were kind of clutch enough moments. So we were chasing our tails. You know, the couple of moments before half time, a 5 point game, then we lose possession, we give possession away, and then it ends up 7 point game. That was a tough one to take, you know. Had we been able to work that and got a score, we would have probably ended up going in at four down at half time. I think it might have been a very different dressing room at that stage, very different dynamic in terms of going out for the second half. But that was fairly significant. And then we pushed hard. Huey came on, did a good job. Jason came on, did a good job, and was able to squeeze the game. But again, with Kerry and the quality they have, you know, they're always going to keep the scoreboard ticking over. So we never got to that point again. We got close to it on one occasion. We were 4 points in it. And then I think we missed three. We had three wides in a row, you know. So even one or two of them to go over, we would have been happy enough going down the stretch. You know, the momentum was there. But it's a double-edged sword, you know. You're in a good spot, and then next thing it falls the wrong side of the post, and that energy that's in the room starts to disappear. And our supporters have been absolutely amazing all year, and I got the sense today that they were there waiting for us to catch fire, and that didn't happen. And those moments where maybe those couple of wides, had an impact on it.
Yeah, I think Kerry wanted to toss and decided to go for it down, and it felt like they went for a throw very early on. You talk about the moments, the action maybe in the stadium. I don't think Clifford touched the ball at the 8 minute, and his first touch is a 2-pointer. And by that stage, 4 or 5 Kerry players had scored. So does that just kind of rattle the plan that he had in place, that he's gone and he's able to put that over the bar? It's number 2-pointer very quickly after. So no matter how well Brennan's doing,
It shouldn't rattle the plan. You know, you've got your plans and you've got your processes, and you've got all the things that you're working on all year. Where we got rattled was in possession ourselves. You know, we give the ball away at times today where it's very uncharacteristic, you know. And against Kerry, you know, you can't do that. You know, they keep the ball very well. Paddy Clifford is almost press resistant. It's very, very difficult to get heat on him. He's physically strong, controls the game, protects the ball very well, you know, and obviously plays very well with his brother, you know. So, Tommy, sometimes in life you've got to put your hands up and you've got to take it on the chin, and today is one of those days, unfortunately for us.
Last one for me, back in 14, it felt like the end of the road. You were obviously moving on to take on a different journey. Last year you get the semi-final, this year you fall short in the final. Can you build on this? Because you've so much young talent to bring it all, and obviously wanted to come back with such a massive addition this year.
Yeah, listen, that's what you're hoping to do. There's a huge amount of good work going on in Donegal. There's massive amounts of work going on behind the scenes in terms of the academy and trying to build teams and trying to put our younger lads in a position where they can experience days like this more often, if you like. And that work has to continue, and the work with the players has to continue in the dressing room there as well, you know. But today is not the day for that, you know. We have to reflect today. We've got to take it on the chin, and we've got to also tip our hat to Kerry. You know, Kerry were brilliant today. They played really, really well for long periods of that game, and even though we did get into situations where we felt we might get a bit of traction, that never really materialised. So yeah, we have to take it on the chin.
Conor Long, I think, Murphy, actually young, I think it contributed 15 points of your tally, and a lot of what you've got this year has been the overlaps and the runners and touch and options. You just weren't able to get their runners and to create overlap today. Is that fair?
That is fair. No, that's absolutely fair. I don't know, was it 6 or 7 scorers we had, you know? I think we've been 12 in the last 2 games. So definitely, yeah. There's things in that, you know. Why did we not get the same traction in terms of the threats all over the pitch, and different people popping up at different times, you know? So that's all things that probably would probably come into the mix, you know. Kerry had a very aggressive press on. We were trying to do the same. They won a lot of breaking ball. You know, we would pride ourselves in that aspect of it. They won a huge amount of breaking ball. Gavin White in particular won a huge amount of breaking ball. So yeah, every possession was crucial. Getting hands on the ball from our own kick out, crucial. You know, both kick outs and turnovers, that's what shapes attacks. And we didn't get enough. And start of the second half, we might have won the first 3 or 4 kick outs in a row, and again you're building that momentum, but it's about keeping it going and keeping the scoreboard ticking, and unfortunately we weren't able to do that.
There's a couple of games this week went on to make it worth it. Maybe some games after you can see they didn't score or goal something. There just seem to be new jerseys around every game, which is almost, and I think Gavin and Green possibly being a bit as well. So they just seem to come down which breaks off Michael. Is that a big factor?
I don't think so, because you know Michael is Michael, and he will carry that attention, and he's carried that all through his career. But that's why it's so important to have your 10 or 11 or 12 scorers. That's why it's so important to have that spread of scorers, you know, because any day like that can happen and can pop up, and it didn't happen for us today, you know. So, but listen, they've put a massive shift in. They've given it their absolutely all from the beginning of the year. They're very, very good group to work with, very dedicated, very focused on what they want to do. Today's not a good day for us. Today's not a good day for the group, and it's not a good day, you know, in terms of what we wanted to achieve. And very, very disappointed for the people of Donegal that it didn't work out. They were here in their droves today and didn't get the performance either, you know, which is disappointing. But as I said earlier, we have to take that on the chin. I said to the players in the dressing room, it's not a game you should think about for a long time. You know, we didn't deserve to win the game. That's the reality of it. We didn't do enough to win the game. And so you have to let it slide. Sometimes you just have to let performances slide, and this is one of them.
Jim, how challenging were the losses to Kieran Thompson and Ryan McCoo, because they're two very experienced players, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. They were a big loss, and then obviously Kieran brings the two-point threat as well. And we missed that today. And when you're chasing a score, you know, you want people, A, that can do it, and B, that will back themselves to do it. And he has certainly done that, you know, for us all season. He's a bit of a warrior, Tomo, you know, so we definitely missed him in there in the middle of the park. We missed that physical nature as well. But yeah, he's a guy that you can trust with the ball, and he will have a go. And maybe in the second half, if we had him on the pitch, there could have been a couple of opportunities to get twos. But as I say, today's not about us. Today's about Kerry. Kerry played the football today. They played the football to win the game, and they won the game. And from our point of view, we just have to take it on the chin.
When you talked about the 2014 final, you talked about the flatness that you sensed beforehand in your team. Was there any part of that drawn between that and...
No. No, not none, Malachy, no. No, like, we felt good going into the game. They were relaxed all weekend. We didn't feel it in the dressing room either, you know. Just Kerry came hard. They came hard early and, you know, set the terms of the game. And then you're trying to manage that and you're trying to claw your way back in. And then we tried to respond to that. But at the end of the day, they were still keeping the scoreboard ticking over. And so very quickly, you're in a fight. You know, whereas we wanted to be in a position where we were going to control the game, they were going to control the game, we were going to pick them off, they were going to pick us off. You know, we knew that was going to be the case anyway with the inside forwards that they have on the pitch. But very quickly they set the terms of the game, and so we were sort of pushing a boulder up a hill at certain points for large parts of it, you know. Yeah, well, what I'm saying, you're looking for control. You're just looking to get hands on the ball and to use it intelligently. You know, you can't control the game. That's the reality. There is no control in the game anymore, you know. So kick-outs become really important. Both kick-outs becoming really important, and then not giving the ball away, you know. And Kerry did that, you know. They put a lot of ball through their hand today. They probably knew that that's the way we play, and our metrics were showing that. And they probably made a bit of an adjustment today on that front, and they really took care of the ball. And were able to pick us off with scores in the first half in particular. So yeah, listen, I'm not sure if there's a lesson there. That's the game that we're in now, and we have to kind of roll with the punches in that regard. And that's why winning primary possession or breaking ball is hugely important.
Last question, obviously a tough call to leave out Hugh McFadden. I mean, your time again, would you?
No, definitely not. No, we wanted to go with two centre-half backs. Keelan has played centre-half back for us all year. We knew the threat for Kerry was the inside right channel. We were trying to get Ban to go tight and then Keelan to drop into that inside right channel. So if they were going to kick the ball, which we expect them to do, that he would be in that pocket where he could maybe drop in quickly. He's very, very quick. He's very, very athletic, and he would be able to hopefully travel as the ball's travelling and maybe intercept and get at least a double up or get close to David whenever the ball be played in. But that never really materialised. As you say, he wasn't in the game early in the game, and other people kept, you know, popping up, you know. So no, listen, tactically that was what we were seeing, that's what we wanted to achieve in the game, and that was the decision. And Hughie has done absolutely brilliant for us, you know, but he's never finished a game, so it was a matter of when he would start or when he would come into the game. And when he did, he did what Hughie does, you know. He was very honest and aggressive and intensive and turned the game for us, himself and Jason, for a period of time.